They're the joyful agains our children shout on the swings, the exhausting agains of cooking and laundry, and the difficult agains of discipline. So much of what we do as mothers is on repeat. So what if we woke up with clarity, knowing which agains we were called to, and went to bed believing we are faithful in what matters most? We believe God's word is the key to untangle from the confusion and overwhelm we feel. Let's look up together to embrace a motherhood full of freedom and joy. Welcome to the Again Podcast, brought to you by Entrusted Ministries. I'm your host, Stephanie Hickox, and today I'm joined by the incredible wordsmithing Emily Dio and the wonderfully wise Jen Freckman. We are talking about the heart of a child and how it is comprised of the mind, will, and emotions. How do we get to the heart of a child as we discipline, even if they're very strong-willed or highly impulsive? And sometimes that bundle is wrapped up into one. We feel you, Mama. There's lots of encouragement to press on when it's hard, though I do want to say that this episode is not intended to be a comprehensive discussion if you are dealing with an impulsive child or a strong-willed child. We're just weaving that into the conversation on reaching the heart of a child through discipline. Stay tuned, though. We promise we will hit on those topics again, as they are ones we have dealt with extensively and continue to manage and steward in our home. And if you're in the middle of it, we encourage you to keep pressing into the Lord for wisdom. He promises that when we seek Him for wisdom, He will answer. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." I have to confess that lately I've had some head-scratching, discouraging parenting situations that have left me wondering. So I am going to run to the God of wisdom with you and ask for him to continue to lead me in raising the children that he has created, that they would bring him glory, and that he would guide me in how to point them to him. All of this has made me think of the recent eclipse that we saw so close after Easter. And with my eclipse glasses covering my eyes, I stared up at the disappearing sun that was now being eclipsed by the moon. I couldn't help but think about the stone being rolled over the tomb. Often in our darkest moments, we think, "Where are you, God? What are you doing? I can't see you working." And yet when the stone rolled over the tomb, God was absolutely at work. He had powerfully redeemed his creation from the curse of sin. It was finished and waiting to be revealed. And it makes me think about some of those situations in parenting where it just feels like you're seeing darkness and you're wondering, "God, where are you? Are you at work here?" May we believe that his glory and his goodness still shines. May we press into him so we can correct where we've gone wrong, but also that we can remain steadfast in the wisdom he's already brought to us. May you be blessed by this episode and continue to seek to point the heart of your child to a perfect Savior. In this episode, we are diving into Lesson 9 from Entrusted with a Child's Heart, as it relates to the heart of a child to obey and to honor. If you have taken Entrusted with a Child's Heart before, you've probably noticed that Betsy set such a wonderful foundation on the introduction through Lessons 8, and it's practical throughout, but it truly gets practical in Lessons 9 and 10, and you're just ready to apply all of the wisdom in your home. So this is one of our favorites. If you have never heard about Entrusted with a Child's Heart, it is a biblical study in family life, and I like to call it a systematic theology of parenting. It is the most comprehensive resource I have ever seen on biblical parenting, and Betsy wanted something for every age and every stage of parenting to be in every lesson. So this is not something you take just when you have babies. It covers toddlers to teenage years and beyond. And if you haven't had a chance to take it, we encourage you to head to our website to learn more. Jen Freckman and Emily Dio are both here, and we're going to be sharing some examples that we've experienced in our own homes and with our own children and how we have seen this play out. Before we get into that, I'm going to ask, would you have considered yourself a strong-willed child when you were growing up, or even would your parents have considered you a strong-willed child? How would you describe your temperament? Jen, I'm going to start with you on this one. I think I have a better idea of your answer here.
Okay, so I definitely would say that my mom would say I was a strong-willed child, 100%. In fact, I would agree with her. I remember being very strong-willed. Like, I would be walking to go put clothes away in my room, and my mom would say, "You need to put your clothes away." And I would turn around and be like, "Yeah, I'll do it later," and not want to do it just because she had told me, which I'm ashamed to say now. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I was so horrible. She used to get pretty frustrated because I was very strong. I would always question everything that she was saying. Why did you have to do this? And what rules was I breaking if you asked me to do this? And just different things like they had a family rule that I wasn't allowed to get my ears double pierced until I was 18 for whatever reason. And she couldn't give me an answer. And it used to bother me so bad. And I would fight her on it so much. And now as an adult, I can look back and think, I just needed to submit my will. This was their decision and I needed to submit to that. But it bothered me that she couldn't give me a reason. And now as an adult, I realize I don't need a reason. I don't need to understand. My job is not to understand. My job is to obey. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even with the Lord, he doesn't give us a reason when we still need to obey. So I definitely would say I was strong-willed and my mom would agree.
And you're the third born, right? And your sisters are not as strong-willed, correct?
I am a third born. And no, my sisters, not at all. She said they would just say, don't do this. And they would be like, okay. And they wouldn't do it. And the other one, the firstborn, she didn't even need to tell her not to do it. She just never even thought of doing it. Yeah. So I'm like, I definitely broke all the molds.
And then when she wasn't expecting it, right? She probably felt good about, oh, this parenting thing's going well.
Yeah, that's what I should tell her. I just came along to humble you. That's all.
Emily, what would you say?
I would say I was not a strong-willed child. I was pretty compliant. I just was so concerned about disappointing my parents that I just didn't want to upset the apple cart. And I know if mom's listening, I know she would agree with me. Usually just took a look from my dad and I was just like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. So no, I was not strong-willed as a child.
You're so nice.
No, it doesn't mean that transferred to adulthood.
That's a follow-up episode.
Yes, that's a follow-up episode. But no, as a child, I just wasn't. What about you, Steph?
I wasn't, but I would say I'm very strong on biblical principles or conviction. My dad would say to me, Stephanie, everything's not so black and white. I think on things that I thought were moral, I had a strong backbone, but advocating for myself, I don't think so. As I'm listening to us describe this, I can see how our own temperaments probably really come into play when we're dealing with our own children. Yeah. Jen, I think you probably have a lot of gumption and fight in you to deal with the moments that your children are strong-willed. And Emily, you and I have talked about getting more tearful when our kids are disobedient. I wonder how much that comes into play in our own parenting.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thought. I'm sure it comes into play a lot in how we parent and how we even just mold them in their thinking. And it doesn't mean any of it's right or wrong. It's just how we're wired. Totally. So interesting.
The first time I took Entrusted, one of the quotes that stuck in my mind most from the study was when Betsy says, "Not every child is strong-willed, but any will left unchecked will be a strong-willed." And that was just so helpful for me because when I had my child with my strongest will, I was just on high alert to make sure I was being faithful to train him to submit his will to my authority. And then the child that came after that one has such a sweet temperament. And I was grateful for that saying in my head to remind me that I needed to be just as diligent to train him even though he was not requiring as much of my energy and attention in other areas. So for example, if he would leave something on the floor, which was a little bit more that one's tendency, I would just hear the Lord prompting me, still need to train him to be faithful and to be neat and tidy, even though you're happy to do this for him because he's so easygoing much of the day.
And I would have to check myself. And of course, they each have their blessings and their strengths and weaknesses and things that have been really easy for me for both of them. And then things that have been struggles. Mm-hmm. For example, when I told my oldest, all right, it's time to get rid of your pacifier. He was like, all right. And he whipped it in the garbage and never looked back. Or even potty training. I can see how strong wills can be really a blessing in some areas. We each have a temptation to sin. Whether it masquerades as a strong will or not, we are all capable of great sin. We do need to be molded and shaped and pointed to the Lord, whether those temptations are subtle or much more in our parents' faces and evident.
Yes. In preparation for speaking to this lesson today, I was going back through and reading my own notes. And it is amazing how the universal language of the Bible meets every mom where they are, all in different places. My children could not be more opposite, complete opposite human beings. And this lesson applied to them both individually where they are. I have one child who was driven by impulsivity. And then I have one child who needed full explanations for everything. I will never forget going through this lesson and thinking, okay, I am equipped to do what needs done. And going home, telling my husband what I had learned, and then just being at a loss because I was following all of the principles that I was supposed to follow. And I was still stumped because the impulsivity reigned supreme. And so this stage, and I'm talking like these are the young years of molding, like the discipline years, like before when you are just investing, before they even start school. I remember many nights crying myself to sleep because I just thought I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing and none of it is working. And praise the Lord for his goodness, he always leads us to the right things. But through this stage, when we were dealing with just heavy reaction, we learned a few things. We learned that when you have a child who's driven by impulsiveness to things, first of all, they have to know the boundaries. And even more so than a regular child, we all set boundaries for our children. But when you have this drive that you're dealing with and impulsivity, they have to know the boundaries. They need help connecting the behavior with the outcomes. Because in the moment, they're not always thinking about what the consequence of their behavior will be. They're just like, oh, matchbox car, grabbing and speeding it across the floor. But they're not realizing they're in a room full of people, and that's probably not the best thing. And so when we're talking about dealing with children in all of their different facets and where they may be, I just want to speak to the mom who's dealing with the impulsive child, and you are disciplining and you are doing all the things and you're just totally at your wit's end. You're not alone, first of all. Mm-hmm. And consistency is completely the key. When I stopped to think about all these years and I talked to my husband and I told him what we were talking about tonight, he was like, I wish I could speak to this also, because these years fused us together in marriage because we had so many conversations. They brought us closer to our child because we saw the struggle, but we realized that consistency was key. Immediate discipline was what was needed. If we were at the store and something had happened, something was touched that shouldn't have been touched, or whatever the parameters were before we walked into the store, we had to deal with it immediately. There was no wait till we get home. That was our reality for a long time. we had to constantly reiterate, we're going into a store, put your hands in your pockets, don't touch anything. And then along the way, give praise that this was happening, that obedience was happening. But this lesson talking about the will of a child and having their heart and being in their world and understanding where they're coming from, all of this is covered in the lesson. And it was just such a sustaining goodness and a reinforcement that we were on the right track, and that through some of our hardest years, this was just such a sustaining force to know that we were doing it the right way. We weren't seeing immediate fruit, which can also be discouragement when you're walking through that time, because the fruit isn't immediate. It's over a course of sometimes years, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. So that's our experience parenting a child with impulsivity.
We've been there as well. I would say a little bit more as this child has gotten older, just trying to help this one see that when you enter a room and you're talking before you even get into the room to assess the situation, if anyone's even able and ready to listen to you, but you're just shouting out what you want to say. Yeah. Like we've actually talked how, and I know it sounds crazy, but the author of Winnie the Pooh said, a little consideration, a little thought for others makes all the difference. And we have said that so many times. Just consider others. Think about this. And talking through, like, when you're doing these things, especially as an older kid, I agree with what Emily was saying. When they're younger and the constant disciplining of, nope, not this, that, not this, that, put this off, put this on, and the quick happening of the discipline to what the offense was. But as they get older and you can have these conversations with them, okay, let's see what's coming out of the heart right now and what is being portrayed here. And really what's being portrayed is a lack of self-control, a lack sometimes of awareness, of self-awareness. Yes. They're growing and they're getting to be preteens. And so they're still figuring themselves out, but trying to help them understand, like, when you come in the room, it's pretty selfish to just assume that everybody wants to hear everything you want to say when you want to say it and for how long you want to say it. And so just having the self-awareness to be like, okay, I don't need to say everything that's going through my brain. And I don't need to that impulsiveness of, oh, I have something to say on that. I have something to say on that. So do other people. And you don't always have to be heard. Dying to self a little bit, not being prideful, having self-control is huge. And trying to understand that your will, you have control. You have to exercise control over your mind and over your will. That has to happen. It's not easy. And it doesn't come easy. I think it's something that has to be taught. Even as an adult, I have to exercise control over my own will.
Yeah. Self-control is a thing that has to be taught. But when they're young, I feel like some kids are just naturally apt at having self-control, and some might be a little harder.
Totally.
So yes. So having the patience to keep working and honing and working with them on it in the small years can be really trying, but don't give up. Keep doing it, because it will all fuse together. But in those young years, it is hard when you're constantly coaching. It's just weary. I remember those years being just weary. I remember thinking, maybe there's just not an ability to control, which is so silly, I know. But when you're sleep deprived, you think a lot of things. And I thought, maybe there just isn't an ability. But that's so wrong. I think even more a lack of structure, immense structure, is so helpful. When you do have a child that just acts on impulse, structure is so helpful. For you and them.
The expectations, right?
Yes, constantly.
In Philippians 4, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I've tried to communicate, especially to my impulsive one, is it true? Is it lovely? Did that have to come out? Should it have stayed inside? And it's hard because you don't want to be nitpicky. You don't want them to feel like you're harping on these things. And yet it's a worthy endeavor to help them, strengthen them. One of my friends in my small group, she is a school social worker. And she said, I've just learned you have to narrow it down to as simple as possible and say, is it helpful or is it harmful? Is that helpful or is it harmful? Before it comes out of your mouth, you have to ask yourself that question. And sometimes making it as simple as possible for them. I think for me, the difficulty is if we're looking at the heart of a child being mind, will, and emotion, and you're walking into the store and the glass bowl is already on their head before they've thought about it. And I can see in their eyes, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean to do that. And there's humility of heart and they're repentant, but the bowl is already there. They didn't even, there was no intention in it. So it's okay, this wasn't in your mind. This wasn't willful disobedience. It's not an emotion. And I think it got me stuck for a while about, I don't know what to do here. I don't know. I don't want to shame you, but it does seem like there's such a difference in ability and what you're capable of. But then again, saying that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So I believe you may have to press into the Holy Spirit even more because of who you are. But I believe that you can be victorious with the Lord, but to frame it in a way that's not shaming to them. Yes. And I think that there are so many strengths of people that are quick thinkers or quick reactors that God can really use people like that. However, what a blessing when we can match that quickness of thought with the self-control and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. There's so many proverbs about when words are many, sin is not absent, and talking about how our words need to be measured. But it's definitely has left me very much like, Lord, I don't know what to do in this area. I think you both had really great words for that and to not give up, to not grow weary in it. Because we will see a harvest if we keep pressing on in the Lord.
We have to remember that God gave our children to us. And we have to trust in that. And that He will give us the wisdom that we need. And we have to have the ability to follow through and not give in to the weariness of motherhood. That you have to just be consistent and keep on following through and trust that He knows. He gave us our children. And in His great providence, He already knew. And so just lean into that also has been a huge help and a huge comfort to me throughout the years.
I agree. I think when I would get overwhelmed and frustrated with my strong-willed one while they were little, I would just remind myself, at least they're showing me their cards. And in some instances, as embarrassing as it is or as frustrating as it is, I could see exactly what was going on. And there were times where it was like, okay, I know their cards and this is where this is off in their heart. And let's pray about this and let's ask the Lord to give us a different temperament, a different whatever the sin is. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to have this instead. And so often with the ones that were not as strong-willed, I had to really stop and be like, okay, wait, what is this in here? I don't see it as easily. It's a little bit more hidden. And so that is weary in a different way because it's not showing the cards and you have to pull it out. But a wise person draws that out and takes the time to do it. Whereas with the strong-willed one, it's got to be dealt with and it's got to be dealt with right away.
Yes. And this is where I have written in my notebook, and Betsy must have said this throughout the lesson, I wrote, be part of their world. And I just thought how, when you're talking about that, Jen, how important it is for us to be a part of their world to understand where they're coming from. Every mom knows where the heart of their child lies. And understanding where they're coming from will help us to act in whatever we need to act in, whether it's encouraging them, disciplining them, or just working on honing self-control. But we have the ability to do that. We just have to be involved in their world and ask the Holy Spirit for Him to lead us and reveal to us what we need to see.
Totally. I appreciated in the lesson where she talks about the difference between the mind, the will, and the emotions, and how the mind, you replace it, the ignorance, with teaching, and how often We might do that when it is an emotion or a will thing. With a will, you don't teach it. It's that will needs, it, that's rebellion and that needs discipline. You don't teach a will because they're not even willing to, in that moment, they're not willing themselves to humble themselves to want to know. So there's you, the with the mind, it's ignorance and teaching. With the will, it's rebellion and discipline. And with emotion, it's you replace discouragement with encouragement. And I think so often we can see a child who's disobeying and think, oh, they just need some encouragement right now. They're having a hard time obeying. But no, that's actually not it. If they're discouraged because they can't do something well, or they're trying to cut something and they're getting angry because they can't get their little fingers around the scissors and they can't get it and they're frustrated. Oh, yeah, you're discouraged. You just need some encouragement. It's okay, sweetie. We'll get it. Let me help you. Let me show you how I cut, and maybe that will help you. That encouragement is different than looking at some child who is even if it's a strong will, if they're blurting out or they're coming around the corner constantly talking, and like how that encouragement, it might not be the thing that child needs at that point. And I think in today's society, encouragement becomes the number one. Don't just encourage the heart of your child. Encourage. Yes, we do need to encourage them, but mainly that's for the emotional side of it. And there also needs to be teaching and discipline involved as well.
And even if it's a repetitive thing, which gets into the will, we don't have to keep clarifying all the time what the rules are. They've been laid before them.
Yes.
If it's been made clear to them, which of course is a godly thing to make the expectations clear to our children. When Betsy says you have them repeat directions back to you often, I think that's a step that can be skipped so easily just because there's so much in a day-to-day that we're asking. But when we know they've received the message and that they understand what the store rules or whatever the standard is, each time we're going to the library, I'm like, tell me the three rules. They do so much better in that situation than in situations I haven't clarified it to them, but I don't need to have a big talk for coming out of the library and one of them was broken.
I had a situation last summer with one of my children. I'm going to try to honor them and not overshare in this, but I feel that it might be helpful in talking about discerning the mind, the will, and the motion. So this child was not honoring the boundary that I had placed on where they were allowed to go outside without permission. I really wanted to be able to look out my kitchen window, or if I was working at the kitchen table, and I wanted to be able to look out and see them. And this child, given some different circumstances in their life, was struggling with loneliness. They really wanted to be able to have the same boundaries that the other neighbor children had, and they were frequently disobeying me. Obviously, this is a will issue. So there was repeated discipline over the same issue, and they were not honoring my clear expectations. So it was a matter of the will. But as I tried to get to the heart of the issue, it became so evident that this child felt that they were experiencing a deficit and that they thought they could make up for it by having more time with their friends. It felt so much like Adam and Eve in the garden, not trusting the Lord's provision for them. And I could just trace this. If I allowed this deception to continue in their mind, there would be such a pattern of sin and excusing it because of distrust in God's goodness and God's provision. And so I really wanted to make sure I helped them understand, do you see the lie that you're believing? God has provided for you in so many ways, and that he's not withholding goodness from you. But then I also could hear the value of friendship to this child and wanted, it was just a good moment for me to make sure that I was providing for that and allowing them to have opportunities to develop great friendships, because I know how important that is to me. Of course, as we were getting to the heart of all this, it felt very emotional. And so there was an element of letting this child know how much I love them and that this boundary is for their protection and their safety. And they've been entrusted to me, and I want to steward that gift onto the Lord. And it really was a combination of the mind, the will, and the emotion, though, of course, it was mainly a will issue that had to be submitted. And it was really neat to see that even though it took many hours of my summer, so much time, and it was exasperating at times, that I could see by the end of the summer, wow, this child has really submitted their will to my authority. And there's just a tenderness from going full circle over and over that I just saw a softening in their hearts. And it was really a blessing to see.
I love that stuff. I feel like as you're speaking, I'm thinking through and relating on a few levels, because I have one who is strong in mind. And because this one is strong in mind, it can lead to being strong in will. And we often tell this one to turn their inner attorney off so we can just have a...
I like that.
We're not defending anything here. We're having a conversation. You can disarm, because this one always goes in with all facts and ready to give them like at the drop of a hat. And this one's mind is so quick. I can't tell you that we are all the way at the end, but I have seen tenderness and I have seen a coming around. And this has come with many conversations and lots of prayer. But I do see that mind shaping. And I actually looked over in church a few weeks ago and just saw sweet little note taking and just fully engaged. And I thought, this is how the Lord in his goodness changes our mind and our will and conforms it to his. And so we're not all the way there, but the Lord is graciously leading us in those places. I think, isn't motherhood just this huge, long journey that we're on? And we keep molding and shaping and praying and giving it to the Lord over and over.
Totally. I get such encouragement from Psalm 131. A couple of verses that say, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope, my soul waits for the Lord. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. And then it goes on to say, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. I find as an adult, especially as I wait on the Lord to work in my kids' hearts on things that as they're getting older and we're not seeing the immediate discipline fruit, we're not seeing maybe the changes that we would hope for them, or things that just are going to be a while before the Lord changes their heart in it. And so you're just quietly praying as unto the Lord and lifting that child up that the Lord would change their hearts. I find myself having to quiet my soul as well, because my will can be like, I can make you obey as an older child. I can make this happen, but I really want the heart there. Yeah. I'd rather just wait on the Lord to change the heart so that there's true repentance in his timing, and allowing my heart to also be quieted and calmed as I wait on him. Because sometimes as they get older, it's hard. In those teen years, there's some things that they need to make a decision for themselves that I wish I could just make for them, like I used to be able to a little bit more when they were toddlers. And so going back to that about the mind, will, and the emotions, even as the parent, I have to quiet my soul. And I even said that to one of the kids this week, that I need to quiet my soul as well. And there's this prayer that I got from one of these books that I read. I believe it was War of Words. I think I've quoted about that one before, but this is a prayer that I pray often in my quiet time. It talks about using our words wisely. And it says, I admit that I have not always recognized that my words belong to you. I have not faithfully communicated according to your example and plan. I have claimed my words and my tone as my own to be used for my own purpose. I have listened to the great deceiver and at many times and in many ways spoken more like him than you. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, and I plead for your help. I know that you alone are able to tame my tongue. I offer my talk back to you that I may speak up to your standard and according to your design. Help me not to tear down my own house. Help me speak little with great wisdom, and please gain me my children's hearing and heart. Help me pray more and lecture less. Help me not to guilt or shame them, Father. And I just find as we're teaching these older kids, there's so much prayer that goes in, because they need that heart change to happen.
Yes.
And it takes a little bit longer as they're older, sadly, and hard, but yet you want that. We want the Lord to be able to do that and to see that fruit eventually. I want it to be real fruit, not just to please mom or dad. And I believe mm-hmm. she says that in the lesson too, yes. about what motivates them. Yes. I want them to be motivated at this age. I want them to be motivated by desiring the Lord and to glorify him. Mm-hmm. And yes, mm-hmm. I want them to love me enough that they would want to obey me as well. Mm-hmm. But it's past the, I just want to obey so that I can have a happy heart so I feel good about myself, yes. or all of those things. As they get older and they can understand more of how the Lord works in their hearts and their lives, a lot of it is talking them through with those things and just us waiting on the Lord to change their heart as well.
Yes. As you were talking, Jen, I was just thinking behavior modification. It's not about behavior modification. It's about heart work. And when we're talking heart work, it's never immediate. Even in our own lives, it's over the course of time and sanctification, right. and the Lord continuing to work. It does say here, I love this. I underlined it, and I think I'm going to type this out so I remember. But she says, discipline is not the payment for the child's sin. It is the boundary yes. around his will.
I love that. I have that underlined as well. Yes. That was so good.
That is so mm-hmm. good. How did I forget about yes. that? But that yes. is it's so good. We think often it's so hard for us to, I think just as moms, we feel guilty anyways. But we can't feel guilty about taking the time to invest in shaping, disciplining, and molding. That's actually so loving. It's unloving mm-hmm. to not take the time yes. to invest mm-hmm. in discipline and discipling and boundaries. So it's such mm-hmm. a loving thing that we do. It is a hard thing, and it would actually be easier to sign off and just hope for the best, mm-hmm. but that's just not an option for us.
No. I also had in here that she may have said it years ago, and I don't remember if it was what cycle I took or when she said it, but it was something about praying for your children, and that if you really think about it, a mother, like a parent, I should say, mm-hmm. the parents and maybe the grandparents, if you have Christian grandparents, are probably the only people that will consistently pray mm-hmm. for your child. Mm-hmm. I need to take that so seriously that wow. I'm constantly lifting this child up. And just this afternoon, we were sitting on the steps. That's where we do a lot of our discipline talks and we talk about our heart and everything. And I was with a child this afternoon and just asking the Lord to please work in this child's heart. Mm-hmm. Here's the sin. We've dealt with it. We've disciplined. We've moved forward. But Lord, we need you to work in this child's heart. We need you to change mm-hmm. this. And we are asking and pleading for you to help us and to help this one and to change this thing. And just waiting on the Lord in that, just being mindful that we need to be lifting our kids up in prayer. Yes. And I'm so thankful that my mom and my kids' grandparents are huge prayers, that they're constantly mm-hmm. praying for them. And I'm so grateful for mm-hmm. that.
It reminds me of the episode that we talked about our partnership with God, and that we can't actually bring about sanctification and we can't save our children.
Yes.
And when we take that upon ourselves, that's when it gets so, it's too much to bear. Mm-hmm. Really, yeah. we're just faithfully pointing them to the Lord and faithfully working through these situations, holding that mirror up, so that we can, in a loving way, see, do you see your sin? Do you see your need for a holy Savior? Mm-hmm. And when mm-hmm. we understand, like you were saying, Emily, the quote of discipline is not the payment for their sin. Mm-hmm. It's really helping them understand the need for Christ. And I think it all does push us to have a greater reliance upon prayer. And in this society, when solutions are running rampant of the things we yes. could try or to do, but nothing is more valuable than getting on our knees and pleading yep. for our children. So yep. yes, Lord, please convict us, draw us to our knees, draw us to reliance upon you as we are guiding our children mm-hmm. and a humility that we would be quick to recognize where we're lacking in one of these areas, that we can model for our children what it looks like to recognize our sin and to take it to the cross.
Yes, the lasting solution is never a quick fix. We are inundated with quick fixes and reels and just all the things. We're inundated with it. But the lasting change comes through yielding and yielding and yielding. I think also it's our children seeing us doing that ourselves. And asking the Lord to constantly change our hearts and our lives.
when we see their sin as sin before a holy God and not mm-hmm. an offense to us personally, that really, that diffuses yes. any anger we might have, any frustration. We all have a sinful nature, and it doesn't have to be so offensive to us personally. It's offensive before a holy God. And then yes. when we take that step back and see the problem for what it is, we can deal with it in a much calmer way.
Thanks again for listening. We are so grateful that in all you have to do, you chose to spend some of your time with us. Before you go, we'd like to ask you for a little favor. If you've been listening to our podcast and enjoying it, would you please write a review? This helps podcast platforms recommend us to other moms that are looking for Christian parenting influences. We also ask that you would help spread the word to your friends. Take a second and share this episode or another favorite, whether it's a friend that's near or far away. It would truly bless us if you would help spread the word so that God's word makes its way into as many homes as possible. We know you're busy, Mama, so we are truly grateful you joined us for this episode of Again. If you're looking for more information about building your home on the foundation of Jesus Christ, head to www.entrustedministries.com to learn more about our study for moms entrusted with a child's heart. This scripture-saturated study has blessed families around the world, and we want it for you too. Before you go, I want to pray this benediction over you from 2 Thessalonians 1:11 through 12. We're rooting for you. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Until we meet again.